Jean Perdue runs no ordinary bookstore. Aboard his barge on the Seine River in Paris, he operates the Literary Apothecary, a place where books are prescribed like medicine. With an uncanny gift called transperception, John sees through people's facades to the emotional wounds beneath. He doesn't just sell books, he matches souls with stories that heal. For a woman nursing heartbreak, he bypasses bestsellers and prescribes The Elegance of the Hedgehog, knowing its wisdom about finding beauty in unexpected places will speak to her wounded spirit. When a grandmother worries about aging and her 7-year-old granddaughter, he suggests creating an encyclopedia of common emotions, a creative solution for documenting feelings that fall between the cracks of medical diagnosis. Booksellers don't look after books, they look after people, John believes. He creates intimate spaces where healing begins, surrounding customers with carefully curated stacks that become protective walls, both sheltering and inspiring. These literary nests serve as safe harbors where readers explore emotions and discover new perspectives. With the patience of a guardian, John watches words reshape his customers from within, a brightening eye, a straightened shoulder, a tentative smile. Yet even as he heals others, he privately wonders if somewhere among his thousands of volumes lies the book that could heal his own broken heart. Despite his gift for healing others, Jean lives in emotional austerity. For 21 years, he has sealed off a lavender room that once contained his love life with Manon. His apartment resembles a cell where he serves a voluntary sentence for crimes of the heart. When Catherine moves into his building after her marriage ends, she triggers unexpected changes. Moved by pity and connection, Jean breaks his rules by donating a table from the forbidden room. Entering releases preserved memories about Manon, who vanished from his life in August 1992. The situation intensifies when Catherine discovers an unopened letter in the table's drawer, yellowed words written by Manon 21 years ago. Jean physically recoils, despite recognizing her distinctive handwriting. Catherine remains steadfast, refusing to relinquish the letter unless Jean promises to read it over dinner, a gentle ultimatum that will shatter his carefully constructed world. When John finally reads Manon's 21-year-old letter, his world crumbles. The yellowed pages reveal a devastating truth. Manon hadn't betrayed him. She was dying of cancer and had desperately wanted him by her side in Bagno. She had made the heart-wrenching choice to leave him, to spare him pain, believing anger would be easier for him to heal from than watching her decline. Her letter contained urgent pleas for him to come to her, pleas that went unanswered. The reality crashes over John. He had abandoned Manon when she needed him most. Overwhelmed with grief, John moves through his days like a ghost, maintaining sanity through rigid routine while internally drowning in self-loathing. With unexpected calm, John disconnects his literary apothecary from its birth. As the vessel drifts away, best-selling author Max Jordan appears, running frantically toward the barge with his luggage, pursued by photographers. Despite John's protests, the young author leaps aboard the moving vessel. John points the boat toward Avignon, whispering, "I'm coming, Manon," into the dawn air. As Jean and Max navigate France's waterways, their journey becomes both literal and metaphorical. Jean embraces the Sunday quietness of his childhood, experiencing the essence of life through pure air and freedom. Their adventure faces practical challenges. They lack permits, life jackets, and food. When a river officer inspects their boat, Jean offers books as payment. The officer recognizes Max despite his disguise. Later, Max reveals his anxiety about fans discovering him and his father's dismissal of his literary success. At St. Mam's Marina, they meet three German women, Anka, Corinna, and Ida, all traveling to forget, and Cuneo, a chef searching for a lost love. They earn money selling books at marinas, with Max's theatrical salesmanship attracting customers, while Cuneo tends herbs and prepares meals. In Burgundy, they encounter a dying deer trapped in the canal. Despite rescue attempts, the exhausted animal drowns. The three men bond in their shared grief, foreshadowing the acceptance of loss they must all eventually face. In Kuzeri, the town of books, they meet Sammy Littrequesser, chairwoman of the local book guild. Jean discovers she's actually the author Sannery, whose book Southern Lights connects to his journey. Her presence energizes their floating sanctuary, especially as she bonds with Cuneo. Near Avignon, John contemplates confronting Manon's husband, Luc Basset. Their final evening aboard becomes magical. Salvo cooks mussels while Max plays piano as they dance under the stars with Avignon's lights twinkling nearby. John transfers ownership of his book barge to Cuneo in a meaningful gesture. He and Max continue toward Bagneux in a small Renault. At their guest house, a shocking revelation awaits. Wine labeled Manon 17 bears Manon's image. John must face the painful truth that during their passionate affair, Manon was already married to vintner Luc Basset, forcing him to reevaluate everything about their relationship. When Jean's car breaks down in Sannery-sur-Mer, he stays, working at Madame Menou's bookshop and renovating a house overlooking the Mediterranean. Jean swims twice daily to flush sorrow from my system, processing memories of Manon. During one distant swim, he drifts into a vision where he apologizes to her. Upon waking, he feels not sadness, but fury, raging at Manon for dying without telling him she was sick. After this catharsis, his weeping stops. He settles into a routine of swimming, cooking, playing boules, writing letters, and selling books. When he finally calls Catherine, she reveals she's kept his letters and still wears the dress from their evening together. By late August, Jean's body has transformed, his belt tighter. At nearly 51, he feels truly alive. On September 4, he experiences a breakthrough and writes passionately to Catherine. That evening, she arrives, saying, "You cannot imagine how long I've been waiting for you to finally ask me to come." Their first kiss ends his loneliness at last. When Jean returns to Bagneux with Catherine and Max, he discovers that Victoria, Max's new love, is Manon's daughter. Though not identical to her mother, Victoria occasionally reveals glimpses of Manon in her expressions or silhouette against the vineyard. At Manon's grave, Jean reads her final diary entries. Her fragile handwriting chronicles her battle with mortality, describing how her baby is feeding on me while her body becomes gray and brittle. She named her daughter Victoria, victorious over death, leaving the blessing, "I envy you for all the years you still have left to live." Sipping Manon X15 wine at sunset, Jean realizes, she is here. Manon's essence lives in the land, dances in the wind, and nurtures the vines. Laughter rises within him despite his aching heart. He understands that the times we spent together are immortal, preserved in the seasons and Victoria's spirit. After 21 years of emotional winter, Jean turns to Catherine, ready to love again.